We are back. Smith and Riley time. I'm Reagan Smith.
I'm Dave Riley.
And once again, we say thank you for the pleasure of your company.
It is a pleasure, isn't it?
Yeah. And we also remind you that all of this material is available 24/7 at smithandriley.com.
Your entertainment connection.
If you miss any of this and you say, I'd like to hear that whole thing, you can just get to smithandriley.com and it's all right there.
Yep.
Hey, it's that time of year. Our friends at the Orlando Shakespeare Festival are so very, very busy.
Yeah.
And we've had another opening. This time around, the production is Shylock.
Shylock. I've heard of that, yeah.
Well, and this is an unusual few minutes that we're going to spend here, David, because Shylock is not actually Shakespeare's doing.
No,
we have,
it's his undoing.
We have the author of Shylock here in the Smith and Riley Castle with us.
Wow, cool.
And we say welcome to Gareth Armstrong. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. It's a pleasure to be here.
We are delighted to have you.
Yeah.
And of course, Stephen Patterson, who has been here before, is with us. Let's say hello to Stephen.
A couple of times, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice to see you again, sir. And I guess the best place for us to jump in, because you've opened this just a couple of days ago, and
it's a one-man play,
the,
right?
For the uninitiated, the story of Shylock is based on Shakespeare, and you tell a story.
Okay, I'll start, and then Stephen can tell you how he's coping with it. I wrote the play after I'd played Shylock in The Merchant of Venice in a full production in England, and because I got intrigued by the character. And the play is a sort of mixture of lots of original Shakespearean text, some history, some entertainment info. It's sort of kaleidoscope, if you like. And I've performed it now for, almost exactly 10 years.
Wow.
And Stephen is the first English actor, anyway, to perform it, apart from myself.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, he's great.
Oh, is he? Wow.
Well, now before we get into all of that, let us explain to us, Shylock is a character in the original Merchant of Venice.
Sure. He's the Jewish moneylender,
yeah.
Who used to be always thought of as the bad guy, you know, because he demands a pound of flesh if he doesn't get his money back, mm-hmm. having loaned it to a merchant. I suppose over the years, the attitudes have changed to the character, and he's seen more of a victim now than a villain. And I suppose my piece is a rather revisionist piece of theatre about my attitude to him, you know, why I think he turns out to be the man that he is.
Okay.
Now, I find that interesting because a lot of people might say that today over the many 40 years, more people are victims than ever. I think people get turned into victims all the time.
Well, the play really is about anybody who you discriminate against or marginalize. You
okay.
know, that they will react. I mean, Shylock reacts in a very grotesque way.
Okay.
But I think it happens with everybody.
So regardless of where you're coming from, if you're alienated or put aside like that,
yeah.
you're going to be cornered, you're going to react.
Exactly. He's a Jewish character and he is subject to a lot of anti-Semitism.
Right.
But it could easily be a black guy or a gay guy.
Could be anything. All right.
So he is a rather controversial character then.
Oh yeah, it has been for 400 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking even more so as you have interpreted him.
Sure.
More so than the original. Stephen, how did you come to this?
I got very lucky. Well, I did Jim Hilsinger's one-man Frankenstein last year.
Sure.
And I came in and did an audition for Shylock when they were doing the auditions for this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they felt I was able to handle Frankenstein. And I came in, did an audition for them, then did an audition for Gareth. And fortunately, they cast me. So
this is a whole nother ball game in acting, if you ask me. This getting out there and handling everything yourself—it's taken on quite the burden. You're Atlas out there, so you must obviously not shy away from it. You're here. You're going for it again.
It's a huge responsibility.
Everything, almost everything.
Yes, practically. You know, but you get such wonderful, wonderful support.
Well, of course you do. And a lot of it's not seen, of course. I mean, the support in every other way. But when it's out there, it's got to be you, and you got to be on, and you got to know a lot of lines. You got to carry it all, the emotional arcs and all those things.
There's a lot of lines.
Yeah.
yeah. No, it's almost 2 hours. So,
it's all his fault because he wrote them.
Just me. So,
Gareth.
But the design and the costumes and lighting sets all support the work so, so much.
I know in Frankenstein it's wonderful to be there. In like a lot of different ways. Yeah, very cool.
One of the things that speaks well for this organization is that this is a return visit for Stephen. Mm-hmm. He is not an Orlando resident.
Yeah.
I love coming back here in a lot of ways because the work is wonderful and the support that I get at the theater is wonderful.
Yeah.
I think that's where I was going with that. We're kind of proud of the fact that there is an ensemble here that draws people from out of town.
Yes.
I mean, you've done very well in other cities and you choose to come back here to work with this group, you know.
It's thrilling.
I think says a lot for what's going on here. And to have Gareth here.
Yeah, is a lot to be proud of.
There really and truly is. Let us pause for a moment because we want to let you know that Shylock runs through November the 11th.
Right.
And it is in the Goldman Theater. And if I'm looking here correctly now, I want to get this right. This is the Orlando Shakespeare Theater in partnership with UCF.
That's the way you say it.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. I mean, after all these years, I've had to kind of reprogram this. So
it's going
to
take a while.
It's going to take a while for it to come out, right? But in any event, Wednesdays and Thursdays at 7, Friday and Saturday at 8, and Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Tickets are very reasonably priced. They won't break the bank to see this. And parking is free at the Shakespeare Center there.
Lock Haven Park, yeah.
At Lock Haven Park. And it will make for a most interesting evening. Now, I want to take a few minutes and talk about, because I was looking through the notes here, and you are doing one of the things theater people like to do after some of their sessions are talkbacks.
Yeah, they get out and talk with the audience.
They do, you know, I've done this. And you have quite an impressive list of folks that you're going to be chatting with as we go along here. Our friend Eric Zivit is on the list.
Right.
Rabbi David Kay. Mm-hmm. How did you, as you reached out to the community, what kind of thinking went into this process of putting the talkbacks together?
Well, I believe because the play, in many ways, The Merchant of Venice originally, is so controversial, they really wanted, I think there are probably going to be a lot of people out there who are a little wary about coming to see it. They aren't sure whether they're going to enjoy this or not. I think that's one of the real strengths of the piece, is that it really confronts those issues head on. It works with them and does it in a very, very entertaining manner. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to have people from, you know, particularly from the Jewish community, coming in and reacting to the play and speaking with an audience and getting a dialogue going. I know that the Shakespeare Theater is potentially interested in doing a production of The Merchant of Venice. Mm-hmm. For next season. Uh-huh. And in some ways, this is sort of, you know, like the
precursor, the
flagship. We're going to see how people do react.
A trial balloon.
Exactly.
Well, it's a good idea. And as you say, anytime you've got any kind of play that provokes thought, gets a dialogue going, it's got to be good because it's touching on things that are nerves, but they're there. They're things that need to be talked about. They only exacerbate or continue generation after generation unless you deal with it.
That, for me, is the kind of theater that is the most exciting.
Yeah. I mean, having something deeper than just the entertainment level, which
exactly.
is great to enjoy or laugh or whatever. But when you walk out and you get a mixed bag of emotions that have been touched on, that's what you see. There's some substantial power there. You know?
Well, for me, it's almost me more not wanting to, you know, just, oh, that was a lot of fun. Now, where are we going to go for drinks?
Right.
You know, you go out and you talk about the show for hours afterwards. That's when theater is really exciting to me.
Gareth, now the narrative in this explores with the audience Jewish persecution through a lot of history, through Europe, through the Elizabethan period. As you put this together, share with us a little bit of your thought process and the research that went into making this work for you.
Well, I researched it from a Gentile perspective. I'm a lapsed Presbyterian. My father is a minister, in fact, Presbyterian minister in Wales. So I came to research this. I was ignorant about an awful lot of this stuff. So part of the journey that I took when I was writing it, I wanted to express to an audience, to let them know what I discovered as I was researching the play. And pretty shocking it is. That's why it's great in a live audience when you have a mixture of Jewish and non-Jewish people, because the Jewish people know that history,
mm-hmm.
and they're sitting next to people who don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's quite electric sometimes, the atmosphere. You can only get it with live theatre. And then you have the opportunity to sit afterwards and discuss it with people and the people who've been creating the work.
Now, of course, very early on here, what have you, did you come to Orlando with any particular expectations of audience type or compared to places you have been before with the show?
Well, I've been touring it, as I say, for 10 years, and I've been to about 40 different countries, a lot in the States. It's been lovely being around the theatre and seeing how, you know, a town like this can support a theatre that does four major Shakespeare productions a year. That's an incredible achievement.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of growth over the years. You know, when it started out just the one, maybe the two, one in the spring, one in the fall. Mm. It's nice to see. And then so many other things that aren't Shakespeare plays, you know, sprinkled in.
Now, as the author of the work, as you work with Stephen and putting this together, do you find yourself, have you found yourself over the 10 years going back and tweaking things here and there, or you pretty much go straight forward? And
no, we've changed quite a few things, actually, because Stephen is a very different actor from me and brings very different qualities to the show. He's very physical. He's very dynamic. And no, we've made some alterations, and I've had a wonderful time sort of throwing out the old ideas I had about how to perform it and watch Stephen recreate it anew.
That's got to be fun for you then, you know?
It's great. It brings the whole thing alive to me again. Yeah.
It's refreshing.
Well, it occurs to me that it is, and I may be wrong, Stephen, but it's not very often that an actor actually gets to work directly with the original author.
The author. Well, yeah. And not only the author, but someone who's been performing the role for 10 years.
In your sandals,
That's also a little intimidating. No, it's been wonderful. The original script, as it was published, contained a lot of things that were pretty specifically for British audiences.
Yeah.
And a lot of those have been changed. Mm. That was, I think, the initial script that I was sent was the original published one. And then Gareth sent me a copy that he had done, which took out a lot of the anglicization made it more understandable, I think, for American audiences.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've continued to explore some of that. I've continued to explore with the character and in the course of the rehearsals. There's a whole American Jewish theater tradition that I feel is where I'm coming from and is bringing different kinds of energy to the script. That the whole vaudeville, you know, the Marx Brothers, all of those, that there are elements of that are creeping into the show.
Uh-huh.
Encouraged by me, I have to say.
Is that right? No, like the Borscht Belt comedians from the Catskills, all of those wonderful, wonderful, great Jewish comedians.
And I think that's part of the charm of living theater, you see, and especially when you have the author sitting here with you.
Yeah.
It's a living, breathing document that is available for amendment, you know. Yeah. And so here we are, and there may be things that you'll find in it that are indigenous to the state of Florida, where timing may have been different here than it was, say, in Detroit or Cleveland or Pittsburgh. Is that kind of on, or are we on track there?
Sure. And the only constant element, of course, is the Shakespeare scenes. Mm-hmm. They don't need a change because they're pretty good. and I think that they're probably the bits that Stephen enjoys performing the most.
Let me insert here again. We are talking about Shylock, and this is a part of the 19th season of the Orlando Shakespeare Theater, now in partnership with UCF at Lock Haven Park, the John and Rita Lowndes Shakespeare Center.
That's
there.
Right.
And we have performances on Wednesday and Thursday at 7.
Fridays and Saturdays at 8.
And Sundays at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
At the Goldman Theater.
And we highly recommend ticket reservations be made in advance. You can go online and do it. Or you can call, I believe it's 407-447-1717 or 1700, extension number 1. Aha.
Number 1. And also, as far as the website goes, it's orlandoshakes.org.
Ah, okay. They've shortened that up a little bit.
Orlando spelled out shakes.org, and it does shake and rattle and roll.
And this runs through November the 11th.
That's
so
right.
You need to make your reservations reasonably soon here, because I wanted to talk for a minute or two about the Goldman Theater. We're talking about a very intimate setting here.
Yes. Yeah. Boy, I'm not sure it's where I did Frankenstein last year,
yeah,
and
okay.
It is. It's a wide space, but all of the rows are very, very, very close.
Yeah,
it's a really, really intimate experience. So I'm in the course of the show, I'm really contacting every single person in that audience yeah. before the end of the evening.
Yeah,
yeah. I would say that even if you sat in the last row, you're probably no more than 30 or 40 feet off of the stage.
Oh, you know, maybe not more than 20.
Yeah.
It's very, very close to mm-hmm. the action. Mm-hmm.
And that pulls people yeah. right into what you're up to there.
Extremely. Yeah. Oh, we also have a raked stage, which pushes me even farther out toward them. So.
Hope you don't spit on people.
There's no escape.
Well, Gareth, being in the Goldman, how does that compare with other places that you have performed? Is it unique, or do you try for that intimacy when you do the show?
I think everybody prefers an intimate experience. Mm-hmm. I think audiences do, actors do, designers do. Everybody likes to be close to the action, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I've performed it in, 1,200 seaters and 900 mm-hmm. seaters and 500 seaters, and this would be my choice. I mean, I'm going to be jealous of him.
Well, maybe he'll have an accident.
No.
Break a leg, as they say.
Gareth, quick, come back from London.
Exactly.
Stephen has broken his ankle.
Well, how long, I wanted to talk a little bit, too, about, because a one-man show is not an easy thing to produce for any of you. How much time did they actually give you to put this all together?
Not enough.
It's about the same as they generally will have for any other full production that mm-hmm. they do there. It's okay. about a 3.5 week rehearsal
wow.
period.
Oh, that's good. A lot of memory work.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Yeah, I was very, very glad I got the script before we started rehearsing.
I've come to kind of feel like there really is no magic trick to memorize things. You just have to sit down and read.
Especially when you can't play off other people that can prod you along and keep a continuity going. Mm. You have to keep that continuity arc in your head and just know one thing leads to the next, and I'll get there one way or another.
Yeah. It is. It's difficult for me to learn lines by rote. A lot of times things will not actually settle in until I have where I'm going to be moving on stage and can really associate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when I'm here, this is what I'm saying.
Makes more sense. In fact, that probably helps you remember your cues.
Exactly.
Wherever you move next place to the... Yeah. People don't think about that, but it's neat that we have the perspective.
Well, this is a rare occasion indeed.
Yeah.
I mean, when we have the author right here with us in the theater, directing, and Stephen Patterson, we have seen work before.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to, the most recent one was the Frankenstein, the one-man show.
What a monster.
I had an opportunity to see that one, and this is, without even seeing this, I can tell you, I would be inclined or predisposed to mm-hmm. give this 5 stars, knowing, just talking to these gentlemen and having seen Stephen work.
Yeah, you know right away.
And know what's coming on here. So, we urge you to make your reservations in advance. Shylock runs through November the 11th. And, before we do all that again, I'm bound and determined here. Most people I ask, when you're doing a show like this, can you share a favorite? Does one particular moment in the show or something jump out at you that when folks come down to see you, they should be watching for this particular?
Probably something he relishes in some weird way.
Highlight that.
Yeah, he knows.
It's when he imitates all the Marx Brothers at once.
No. Yeah, there are plenty of times when I'm playing 5 different characters simultaneously, but actually, there's a story that American audiences may have no familiarity with at all. There was a man named Thomas Bowdler. And I think some people may know of the phrase Bowdlerizing. It's when you censor something or cut it out. There was a man named the Reverend Thomas Bowdler who, back in the 19th century, cut all of what he considered to be the dirty bits out of Shakespeare. He made sort of cleaned up versions of them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story in the show which is almost incidental. I'm speaking about something else in the course of the show, and I go, ooh, 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 and come down and get really, really intimate with the audience and start telling them, did you know that Thomas Bowdler was really a woman? And it turns out that It wasn't Thomas Bowdler who did the cutting of Shakespeare. It was his sister Henrietta.
Oh,
but she thought that it was so indelicate for a woman to even know what these dirty bits were.
To acknowledge
that
she got
her brother to put his name on this book that she put together. And he has since gone down in history as, well, as it's said in the play, as a ridiculous old fart.
he prude to the maximum.
Yeah, so that's that's one of the little asides in the show that I truly delight in being able to tell.
Yeah. All right. That's great.
And Gareth, I guess I should put the same question to you. I mean, of course, you wrote the entire production.
And
but
performed it, yeah.
Do you have a particular favorite moment that you feel like shines
or
for
that
you?
The audience reacts to?
Of course, I love the gags. I love the funny bits. Mm. But it's a very poignant play as well. I mean, there's a lot of entertainment, and it's a joy to watch Stephen getting the laughs, even when there are only three of us in the auditorium, you know, for rehearsals. He gets his laughs. But there's a moment when Shylock realizes that his daughter has eloped with a young Christian guy, and not only stolen his money, but also stolen his engagement ring, his turquoise engagement ring, which is the most precious thing to him in the world. And people assume that Shylock's only interested in money and precious jewels, but the fact that he's, what really moves him is the loss of that ring. And I'm always touched when I see Stephen do that.
Very good.
The production is Shylock by Gareth Armstrong. It's a privilege to have you here with us, sir.
Yeah,
we do appreciate
nice.
You coming in. It runs through November the 11th in the Goldman Theater, and this is a part of the 19th season at the Orlando Shakespeare Theater in partnership with UCF. Wednesday and Thursdays at 7.
Fridays and Saturdays at 8.
And Sunday afternoon at 2.
And you can go to orlandoshakes.org and check out the entire season as well as the details of this and get tickets, the whole deal.
And or you can call them at 407-447-1700, extension number 1, and tell them that Smith and Riley sent you. You know?
That's right.
And if you want to hear this again, join us at smithandriley.com, and you will find it there.
So, as a podcast.
Gentlemen, I used the word before, but I must say, a privilege to have both of you.
Yeah, talented, skilled
people. Thank
you.
A great pleasure.
We'll be down to see you very soon, and we look forward to our next visit.
Excellent.
Shakespeare, Shylock, Gareth Armstrong, and Stephen Patterson, thank you so much. Stay put. Dave and I will be back in a moment.